I did that bit on modesty and women on Friday was because of a letter I got. I do pay attention to my letters, absolutely. So if you have a question and you want me to address something, write me, and I might actually do it. But by the same token, I might not. You never know. If it strikes me right, I'll do it. I like to take care of people's questions. But yes, I do have the series on Hebrews going on, but obviously I'm willing to be sidetracked and derailed if it's a worthy sidetrack, and usually it is. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and a listener named Travis wrote me about the problem he had in 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy, where is it? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3 on the modesty of women. And Paul seems to be this apostle of grace, seems to be bringing us back into law and like hold your horses, folks, and do the right thing and conform to the status quo. Well, we found out on Friday that Paul does not want women to profess their godliness by what they wear, as if wearing pearls and as if wearing costly vesture is a profession of godliness. It's not. Now, having said that, there is the word modesty in there. I wanted to tie up this loose end. There is the word modesty there, and in any era, that's relative. Now, Paul's writing to Timothy, and in that era, the dancing women. This is one of my favorite topics, too, the dancing women. I want to read A. Enoch's commentary on that, and then I got another letter from Travis that I think everybody's going to be interested, especially women. The dancing women of the East. This is A. Enoch's commentary on 1 Timothy 2:9, the passage where Paul says that he wants women to dress modestly. The dancing women of the East. Now, you're going to think, okay, A. Enoch has a little different take on this than I do, but I'm not throwing this out because this too is applicable. But I think the larger theme in Paul's writing about women is that their profession is not to be their clothing. Because the parallel passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 says that a woman's profession of godliness should not be the putting on of clothes. So if we take that and tie it in with Paul, we should say, well, women shouldn't wear clothes. No, it's just that their clothing shouldn't be their main focus. It shouldn't be who they are. Who they are shouldn't be what they wear. Who they are should be women of godliness. Here's A. Enoch's commentary on 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. The dancing women of the East, who are perhaps the only class who appear in public, braid their hair with strands strung with gold and pearls, and their vesture is most elaborate to attract the attention of the men who form their audience. How much better for those whose reputation is bound up with the glory of God to be adorned with acts which reflect His love and grace. Actually, now that I'm reading this, A.E.K. is saying the same thing I said on Friday. He's not condemning the dancing women of the East. God forbid any of us should condemn the illustrious dancing women of the East. It reminds me of a Hogan's Heroes episode where General Burkhalter was rather taken and infatuated with this woman named Honey Hornburg, because Honey Hornburg was the leader of the Stuttgart Steppers back in Stuttgart, Germany. And he was so, I remember him, Honey Hornburg and the Stuttgart Steppers. So he was very infatuated with Honey Hornburg. And every era has its entertainments and its dancing women. And it's all well and good. It's all fine. Only religion would condemn such a thing. So A. Enoch is not condemning it here. Now let's read this again carefully. The dancing women of the East. What am I going to name this show? The Glory of Women. Oh, I got to talk about my newsletter from last Saturday. I hope you read that. The Glory of Women Part 1, maybe, because obviously I'm not going to get through this today. Yes, I'm on another sidetrack. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. A. Enoch. The dancing women of the East, who are perhaps the only class who appear in public, braid their hair with strands strung with gold and pearls, and their vesture is most elaborate to attract the attention of the men who form their audience. So apparently, braiding their hair with strands of gold and pearls was a characteristic of the dancing women of the East. How much better for those whose reputation, remember, he's not saying don't do this. He's not saying don't dress like the dancing women, but how much better for those whose reputation, this is your reputation, the dancing women of the East, their reputation was as dancing women. It wasn't their side gig. It was their profession. It was their essence. The dancing women of the East, they wore gold, pearls, costly vesture, and it was elaborate. And the idea was to attract the attention of the men, which it was successful, I'm thinking. You know, they had those tambourines and the drums and the tambourines, and the dancing women of the East would come out and with their pearls and their costly vesture and all that stuff. And it's just fantastic. It's just great, great entertainment. How much better, however, for those whose reputation is bound up with the glory of God. Now, you see, there's a glory associated with the dancing women of the East. And I closed Friday's broadcast by saying that the very example of women's vesture and saying how much better to be have your glory related to God, there's a parallel, because a woman's vesture, more so than a man's, why are we talking about men here? Have you ever wondered that? It's because women, and if you read my newsletter on Saturday, The Glory of Woman, which is under Volume 2, Issue 10. I had missed Issue 10, so I substituted this for Issue 10, so you're going to have to backlog to find it. The Glory of Women, the whole thing, one of the main thrusts there is that women portray the beauty of God. God is beautiful, but God is invisible, and so women, being the last creation to leave the fingertip of God, women are beautiful, and this is a reflection that God is beautiful. Only women can be beautified. If you look in the book of Esther, you don't read of the beauty treatments of the men, because there are no such thing. There is no such thing as the beauty treatments of the men. Men wake up in the morning, and like as you see them coming out of bed, that's how you see them in the middle of the day, at the end of the day. You can't improve us. What you see is what you get with men. But women, it's very mysterious. This is mysterious, and I'm solving this mystery for you here today, and I solve it in my book, Eve Raised. I want to talk about this book in the next couple days. I know it's a sidetrack. Blessed be you. It's a sidetrack de moi. So women are able to be beautified. It's the strangest thing. And you realize this when you see People Magazine or Us Magazine or even Vogue. You see there's always these features where they show stars, actresses, women with and without makeup. I have a picture of Lady Gaga without makeup. In fact, I might put it as the graphic for this show, Lady Gaga without makeup. You're going to see this picture when you first open this show. I think I'm going to do this. You're going to see this photo and you go, oh my gosh, who is this woman? It's Lady Gaga. Swear to God, it's Lady Gaga without makeup. Women have this capacity through beauty treatments, makeup, oils, lotions. Read the book of Esther. I'm not making this up. To be beautified. And I think the reason that is because if they work hard at it, they can go from beautiful. Now, I'm not saying that a woman is not beautiful without makeup, but I'm saying that a woman is already beautiful, but she can be rendered sublimely beautiful through makeup and these treatments. I don't understand it. I'm just reporting here, and you all know it. You all know it. And so, but let that not be the sum and total, women, of your testimony. We're not condemning makeup. We're not condemning pearls. We're not condemning gold. We're not condemning braids. Because if Paul means that in 1 Timothy 2, if Paul means that that braiding the hair is wrong, then think of this. You're taking three strands of hair and working them in and out of each other. Are you telling me that's a sin? Is it a sin to wear a gold wedding band? Is it a sin to wear a beautiful pearl around your neck? No. The point there is that there's more to life than that. Back to A.E. Nock quote, the dancing women, I want to read it all over again, but I'm not going to. How much better for those whose reputation is bound up with the glory of God to be adorned with acts which reflect his love and grace. So, what do you want women to be adorned with, Paul and Peter, in 1 Peter 3? Well, let's adorn them with good acts. What? You don't want them to wear clothes? You see the misunderstanding here? We want women to be adorned with good acts. Only good acts? Yeah, here comes a beautiful naked woman, and we're all stunned and shocked. Well, why are you stunned and shocked? She's obeying Peter and Paul, who say that they want women to be adorned with good acts. See, they're not saying be adorned with good acts at the expense of clothing. We're not saying that to be adorned with good acts and not be adorned with anything else. So you can be adorned with pearls, ladies, and you can wear perfume. Isn't this great? This should be freeing and liberating, because you have these religious sects who downplay women, and they try to make women ugly. They're taking the beauty of womanhood and they're covering them, and they say, don't wear makeup, don't wear perfume, don't wear earrings, and they're basing it on a misunderstanding of these verses. And Travis says here in his email to me, he says, I love women. They're amazing. This is not the one I read to you Friday. This is a new email on in light of the show I did on Friday. I love women. They're amazing. The depth of their heart, kindness, love, and even pain in this world. And women do suffer great pain in this world. They've been stepped on. They've been enslaved. They've been made less than men. And tragically enough, much of this has been based on misinterpretation of certain scripture passages. This is why I wrote the book Eve Raised. It is a commentary and an explanation of those passages, especially from the pen of Paul, that purportedly make women the lesser creation. She came out of Adam. And because she came out of Adam, she's lesser than Adam. That is not the case. Travis again, the depth of their heart, kindness, love, even pain in this world has always moved me. I used to despise Paul because of the misogynistic slander that religion puts forth regarding him, regarding Paul, that is. This is why 1 Timothy 2 is so important for me to find clarity on. Until I saw your videos and read your writing, I had no idea that there was a more true and right way to understand Paul. Commenting on my show on Friday. And then he says this. Love this. I love your PDF this morning. It's beautiful. Thank you. Speaking of volume 2, issue 10, The Glory of Woman. And I encourage men and women to read that. It was an excerpt, and it is an excerpt from my upcoming book, Eve Raised. This book has been written for probably 5 years, but God has squelched the publication of it. But now doors are being opened for this book, as well as other books on sexuality, on relationships, on women and men, to be published from my pen and from the pen of Clyde Pilkington. This is an important topic because we are, at our essence, sexual beings. In the beginning, God made them male and female. So the fact that you're a male and you're a female, that's who you are. You were that way from the beginning. It's your handle. You're a man, you're a woman. And so we need more teaching, not more teaching. We need accurate teaching, better teaching, and a more accurate understanding of these misapplied passages that have been used to destroy women, to turn them into religious women who hide their beauty, who feel guilty because God made them women. And as you look at God's creation, look at the peacock and see the beauty of God's creation. Look at the rings of Saturn. Look at the flowers. And now we're going to take these Amish women and dress them in black. And we're going to take these Pentecostal women and they're going to wear long dresses and tie their hair up and look very mopey and dopey. It's a travesty. And it's all based on this misunderstanding. So in the next couple days, sorry Hebrew fans, sorry Revelation fans, in the next couple days, I'm going to deal with this issue. I'm going to teach from some passages in the book Eve Raised. I don't want to usurp my book in any way. I don't want to make you not want to buy it when it comes out. I don't want to unveil all the secrets of that book, because there are many secrets in the book Eve Raised. I feel God has given me wisdom and discernment to uncover things about the sexes, and especially about women, that have heretofore not been put forward, or at least have been done in such an oblique way, such a non-intrusive way, that nobody's understood it. I'm going to be very plain with you, very outspoken, because that's what I do. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, and this stuff is in the Bible. So for those who are squeamish about the topic of sex, throw away your Bible. I'm teaching from Scripture. I'll always teach from Scripture. That's where I'll start. Sure, I'll get off on my little tangents, my little rants, some of my raves even, but it'll be commentary upon the Word of God. Because upon the Word of God, I stand, I sit, and I'm bringing it to you in the most honest manner I can muster. This stuff is real. I don't teach it unless I live it, unless I love it. That's the only way you're going to get it from me. If you're hearing it, then I love it and I live it.